for the last few weeks, we've been talking about our doctrine and how important it is that us as believers, not to just know the truth, but to come together in one mind, being confident of what we know because of what the Word says and not what we think. It puts us in a position that as we're here as a body of believers, when we go out into the world to have an understanding, there are many, very many, that are sitting in pews, in chairs, in auditoriums. They're sitting all over the place this morning hearing men of God, so-called, okay? They call themselves that are preaching things that are totally out of context of what the Word says. Not only are they teaching things out of context, they're using the very Word, and they're not dividing the Word rightly to where it brings out mass confusion, it brings out deceit, and it tosses people to and fro with every wind of doctrine. To where the issue becomes, denominations become more important than doctrine. And so that's the position we're in. So after talking about last week, for the last few weeks, how we proved that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, and we learned that through his letters, and we also recognize that things that were given to Paul were never known before Paul. That's why he said in 1 Timothy 1:16 that he was the pattern, that in him first all might have life everlasting. Being the pattern means something. Last week we talked about he laid the foundation, and that every man need to heed how he builds thereupon. Well, if Paul laid the foundation, if Paul was the pattern, that in him first, something had to have changed, because at one time you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Peter was the rock. And upon that rock, the gates of hell would not, would not prevail. Under the kingdom gospel, Peter, you'll see, was the rock. And he will be that rock that Peter laid a foundation. But Paul also laid a foundation, and those two things that are different can't be the same. So you're either going to follow under the denominational and try to mix it all up like a tub of glue, or like a big old pot roast that I had the other night, by the way. You never need a pot roast, let Norma cook it. She can do it. But we had potatoes in there, and carrots, and all kinds of stuff. And today, in this gospel, you see people that take the Word and just mix it all up like it's all the same, when there's more than one gospel. There's a gospel of the kingdom, and there's the gospel of the grace of God that the gospel, the people who preached the gospel of the kingdom didn't have a clue about. Number one, because when they were given, and it was given by John the Baptist and then Christ while he walked on the earth, and he had never been crucified or resurrected yet. But with Paul, he received a mystery. One of the vast differences where people will argue today that we're going to go over is the subject of baptism. And the difference in what was given to Paul for our doctrine today, and the difference in what was given to the kingdom gospel. And I just want you to see the differences, and also how people twist and turn these things around. We're going to talk about baptism a little bit. Take about a week to a week and 2 weeks. But I want you to look at what the Bible says about water baptism. Okay, because that seems to be the subject going around America. First, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's see what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So what's the issue here? Paul's writing this letter to these Ephesian people, and he says, look, you need to be long-suffering. You need to be together in unity. In other words, we need to know what we believe and be able to have the position to tell people why we believe what we believe. And Paul says, I was a prisoner of the Lord, and I beseech you to hear what Paul says. Why? Because he was given this gospel that so many people don't preach. And he goes on to say, when he talks about the unity, they need to be of one body, be of the same mind. And he says in verse 4, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Well, it's clear here, the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 4:1 gives us a lot of ones. And one of them deals with one baptism. Well, if there is one baptism for us to be unified together and to be one body, okay? And if that baptism is water baptism, then what happens if we're saved? Is that not a baptism of the Holy Spirit indwelling in us? So then, therefore, which one is important and which one is it that we have of the one? Because if we say there's more than one, then this is a lie. It can't be the truth for this doctrine. Now, there are many baptisms in the Word of God that you'll see. Even Noah and the Ark was a type of a baptism, if you want to take it all the way back. Okay? But it's clear here, Paul says, there is one baptism. Now, isn't it interesting in this group of one that the Apostle Paul would note one baptism? Well, that was an issue he had. This has to be in relation to the body of Christ. Because as we have said before, that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, right? We made that clear. He was given the dispensation of the grace of God. Paul's doctrine is for the church, the body of Christ. During the dispensation of grace, a period in which we are living today. And if he says there is one baptism, then that's what it is. When Paul speaks about one baptism, he must be speaking of the body only, or there would be a contradiction with that in Matthew chapter 3. If Paul says there's one baptism, then something that Paul has to be different. Because if you go to Matthew 3, you see three baptisms. So if we say all the Gospels are one Gospel, then we have a problem here. We might as well shut the book and go on and eat lunch now, because if we say the Word is perfect and precise, then there has to be something different about the three baptisms in Matthew that are given that John the Baptist speaks of, and Paul saying one baptism. Therefore, you can't mix these doctrines. Therefore, we have to decide which is for the church, the body. Well, Paul says he's the apostle to the Gentiles, and we're Gentiles. Evidently, we need to follow Paul's doctrine because it's the pattern. It's the one thing we lay and we build upon that foundation. The first thing would be the baptism. It's not something we do. And it's not water. It's from the Holy Spirit that baptizes us. So we need to know that. When looking at these, you would have to see what Paul wrote to the church and compare it with what Christ said to Israel. And so that's what we're going to do. If not, then the Bible would have contradiction here and throughout the Bible for that matter. There's no contradictions. Let me be clear. There are no contradictions in the Word of God. That's why you have to divide it rightly. I believe you can understand the Bible when you can compare Scripture with Scripture, and that's what I want to do. We've got to rightly divide the Word of truth. In Matthew 3, where you're going to go, John's coming and he's preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So go to Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, if you'll notice verse 2, and we'll skip a little bit for the sake of time, it says, in Matthew 3:2, John says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, John the Baptist was also baptizing. Skip on down to verse 6. He says, and were baptizing of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So we see here John the Baptist in verse 2 is telling everybody to repent, for the kingdom's at hand. and he was baptizing them in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And on down into that chapter, you see verse 11, John gives an explanation of two more baptisms. And he says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So here alone, we see three baptisms in the Jewish church that was given to Israel. We see water baptism, we see the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we see the baptism with fire, right? Now what did Paul say in Ephesians 1? That there's one baptism. So things must be different. So we're going to look at these three baptisms and why it was important for Israel. But here alone, notice there are three. I want to look at these and see how they're associated with the nation of Israel. The baptism of repentance was water baptism. People, by the way, practice this today. This morning, water will be filled and people will be getting baptized all day long. Okay? They believe today the necessity of baptismal regeneration and how a person must be baptized in order to be saved in a lot of churches. There are many churches that believe if you're not baptized with water that you can't be saved. Okay? Then there are others in churches today, and they'll say it's not necessary for salvation, but they believe you should practice it in the obedience to the Lord. Now those are the things that you hear today off and on. Well, which one is it? Well, the baptism of Matthew through John and Acts 2 was not an option. Okay? It wasn't an option at all. A lot of people think, well, we believe you need to do this, but it wasn't an option. Okay? We need to understand that. I also know that through the Scriptures for today, okay, through the Scriptures for today, that salvation is, it's you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Today, to be saved, it's by grace, right? It's by grace through faith without any works. Well, if we believe that salvation is by grace through faith without any works, would baptism be a work? Is that something you think you need to do? So, grace with works is not grace at all, is it? So therefore, it makes sense that Paul would say one baptism, and that would be the baptism when you trust in what Christ did at the cross, the Holy Spirit baptizes you right then. And so we need to see these differences. But as far as Israel was concerned, you will see that it was necessary for water baptism. And people all over the world today are being baptized thinking they're Israel. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, look at verse 4. We're going to look at these water baptisms. In Mark 1:4, it says, "John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." So what was the baptism of repentance? It was a water baptism, is what it was. When you see through the Word and there's a baptism going on, you know what it was a baptism for? If it was a water baptism, it was the baptism of repentance. That they needed to change their mind. That they needed to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. That was the issue. A lot of people tell today in churches that they'll be at the end of the service and say, "Now you need to repent from your sins. You need to walk this way and you turn away from your sins." No. Repentance is the changing of the mind. The issue with Israel, they didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. Right? They needed to believe that Jesus, in the name, that He was the Messiah. And John the Baptist says you need to repent. You need to confess your sins. And there was a water baptism. And it was given to Israel to recognize those things. Correct? And so we see that. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for remission of sins. This baptism was for the remission of sins when it was water baptism. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. In Acts 2:38, In Acts 2:38 it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So what do we see here? Baptism was for the remission of sins. Water baptism was only for remission of sins. That's what we know. Go backwards a little bit to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, if you go to verse 31. John 1:31. The Word of God says, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." So, it's clear now, the baptism of water would be only what? For remission of sins. And today in church, people say you need to make an outward profession of faith for what you believe inwardly. Well, that ain't how they baptize. How did it change? How did this church say in order for you to join our church, you need to be baptized making a profession of faith that you believe? It don't even fit! It just sounds beautiful. It's poetic. You know what it is? It's a waste. It's a lot of people getting wet. That's what it is. It does nothing else. Because the issue with water baptism that's not in this doctrine today, it's not necessary. Israel had to be baptized. It was necessary. That's what they had to do. And what would take place when they were water baptized? What would be next? It's the next baptism that John the Baptist talked about. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? It had to take place. And we're going to see that. But we see John's baptism was for the remission of sins, and it was water baptism. And today, people all over the world are carrying these baptisms out, whether they're dunked, sprinkled, or whatever. And they don't even use it for what John the Baptist used it for. Go to Mark 16:16. Mark 16:16. Everybody there? You need to see this. In Mark 16:16, the Word of God says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned." Now, Paul says there's one baptism in Ephesians. But Mark is clear here, if you're not baptized, you're damned with this water baptism. So you better recognize whether it speaks to you or not. Right? Today, the Church of Christ believe, if you're not, they take this verse, if you're not baptized with water, that you're damned. By the way, I do not. Because this is not the gospel of Christ. This is the gospel that was given to Israel. What I want you to see is Israel had to be water baptized. It was necessary. Or what would happen? They would be damned. They had to meet the conditions that God required of them. This morning, Jesus Christ has met the condition that was required of you. Right? So there's no reason for us to take upon something that was given to Israel. And if you believe that, then that's the issue. So now we can see that water baptism under the kingdom gospel was absolutely necessary for salvation, right? But today in many churches, if you're going to follow part of the law, you better follow all of it. But I get tickled at this. Today there are people that will take this and they'll say, well, that really doesn't mean that anymore. We believe this. But they don't have any scripture to back it up. If you're going to follow this law, you've got to follow it all the way. but it's not necessary with what was given to us today. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. Matthew 28:19. Now notice what Christ is telling these disciples that Mark's going to be teaching about in the near future here. But notice. He says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now back up and go to Matthew 24. Now, what we've just read, what's happened? Christ has been dead, buried, and resurrected. That's what you just read about. And what did Christ tell these disciples? Go into all the world and told them what to preach. Okay? You see that? Well, look at before the resurrection, before the crucifixion. Go to Matthew 24:14. Christ says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So there's an issue here. There was a condition that had to be met, and these guys had to do this. Okay? So there was this water baptism, and then there was this commission that was given to them that will follow all the way to the end would come after that. Well, Christ was resurrected, right? Has the end come? Absolutely not. By the way, when we're out of here, this will pick up again. Okay? But He tells them to preach the gospel. He says, if it's to be preached, it's to be preached to all the world. Then after the resurrection, He tells them to preach the gospel, which obviously is the gospel of the kingdom. Then you would have to know that they are preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, right? And that's what's going on. Now go back to Acts chapter 2 in verse 38. I just want you to see these water baptisms and why they were doing it. And then the churches today don't even do it for the same reason. Water baptism meant something. Acts 2:38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent." Then what happened? Christ had been resurrected. What was Peter doing? He was doing exactly what he was told to do. To tell people to repent because they want to know what happened, what they needed to do. He says, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now you know what a lot of people say this means though? Today people will say where it says, "And be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Let me tell you what your translations have changed it in your churches today. It says, "Be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ." It says, let's see, where did I put it now? Because I saw it the other day. "Because of the remission of sins." They've changed the wording. Instead of "for the remission of sins," Peter says, "Repent and be baptized every one of you for the remission of sins." Something they had to do. Well, today your church is saying, well, what it's really saying is, repent and be baptized because of the remission of sins. That changes everything, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. When man changes the word, it doesn't mean what it says. But that's what you'll be told in a lot of churches today. It's because of the remission of sins. Sorry, either the word means what it says or it doesn't. You got to take it for what it is. But they say in Acts 2:38, it's because of the remission of sins. Let me tell you what. It was for Israel. It was for the remission of sins is why they were to be baptized with water. Okay? Now, we saw the water baptism. We know what it's about. Now look at the other baptism for Israel. Go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. So we understand water baptism that we see in the Word of God that Paul doesn't do anymore once the Word is made complete. He even says, I baptize nobody else after infant baptism. That baptism wasn't the issue, right? We see that John did exactly what he was told. We see that Peter did exactly what he was told.
Well, why? After water baptism, what's to come? The Holy Ghost. Okay? In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, it says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. What you have here, the Holy Ghost, those are that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Those are those that, when they believed it, they repented, they're for the remission of sins, they were baptized, and the Holy Ghost was going to come upon them. Those that didn't believe and were not baptized, who did not endure to the end, guess what came? The baptism of fire. They'd be damned. And there's your two baptisms that take place, whether you did meet the conditions or whether you didn't. By the way, may I remind you, we don't have to meet these conditions. Christ met them for us. We're in a grace period. But people today go up to the altar. They're broken. They're begging God to forgive them, which He's already done at the cross. And then after they beg God to forgive them, they stand up. They finally feel this freedom. And you know what a preacher does? Now you need to do this. Right back into bondage. Gives them another work to do. And he tells them he needs to be baptized. And some will say, if you're not, you'll go to hell. And some will say, it's not necessary, but you need to make an outward profession. Well, what's funny to me is they only do it once. Well, if you need to make an outward profession, and you believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and that's the issue, when you came to church every Sunday, wouldn't you need to be baptized every Sunday? Wouldn't that make sense? Don't you need to make an hour? But they don't just do it one time. It takes. What about those that missed, that didn't see you make the outward profession? Isn't that, I mean, it's amazing how we change the rules around to confuse what the doctrine was for Israel. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. But that's what we do because the tradition teaches us to do it. People today mention fire baptism. If they are fire baptized because they believe this Holy Ghost comes upon them and they speak this unknown language. But let me tell you, if people are fire baptized, they're not going to be around to tell about it. Okay? That fire has to do with God's wrath that is going to come upon Israel for not believing that Jesus was the Messiah. Okay? Jesus, remember, says that He goes away. He said, if He goes away, now this deals with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you remember? Jesus says, I go away. And He said, if He goes away, He's going to send them a Comforter. Okay? And of course, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Well, these have been water baptized. And look what happens if you go to Acts chapter 1 and how this water baptism goes in direct relation with this baptism of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 1, look at verse 5. Now, Christ has not ascended up to heaven. He's been with the disciples, as Mark taught this morning, for 40 days. Okay, off and on, off and on. And Christ is reminding of them of what has taken place so far and what was going to come. And Jesus Christ says Himself in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Well, guess what happens in chapter 2? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Go to Acts 2, chapter verse 4. Acts 2, verse 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because those that believed repented for the remission of sins, they were water baptized, and now the Holy Ghost, Christ went away, and the Holy Ghost came. And look what happens. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now many people say this would be a holy Bible and you had to have an interpreter and all this. May I remind you, all these that received the Holy Ghost, okay? All of these were from where? Galilee.
Now you had everybody coming to Pentecost. All different kinds of people from different regions that were Jews, but had learned all these different languages because they had been scattered. So if one guy spoke in his own tongue, could everybody understand it? Absolutely not. Now what did Christ tell them after His resurrection? Go into all the world, starting in Jerusalem. Where were they at? In Jerusalem. Preaching, the kingdom is at hand. What are they thinking here? The Holy Ghost has now come upon them. They're going to preach that Jesus was the Messiah. And that those didn't believe, better repent. And then what Peter says on in Acts chapter 2:38? Repent. What must we do? Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Right? I'm saying it my own phrase, by the way. For what though? The remission of sins. Because if they were not baptized, they would be damned. And it's coming up. It's live now. This is what's going on. And he says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. These tongues were other languages so they could fulfill the commission going into all the world. How else could they do it if they couldn't speak their languages? Okay? Now, we read in Matthew 3:11, it says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with the unquenchable fire. So what is the baptism of fire now? Well, during the tribulation, As God is dealing with the nation of Israel, there will be a time where fire will be poured out. In 1 Peter, it talks about how the world was destroyed by what? Water. But it also talks about how the world will be destroyed next. And guess what it says? By fire. So the world will come to an end. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And this makes perfect sense, doesn't it? It's a baptism with what? With fire. Okay? So the issue is, there's going to be a time where fire is poured out. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. Luke 12:49. Stay with me about five more minutes. And you're going to see three baptisms that deal with the nation of Israel for a kingdom gospel. But now what does Paul say? One baptism. Okay? In Luke chapter 12, verse 49. Look what Christ says. In Luke 12:49, He says, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it already be kindled? Makes sense. Back up to Isaiah 66:15. If you can mark these or write them down, these scriptures are extremely clear to show you that these people understood at Pentecost what was going on. You'll understand why they were pricked in their hearts. Because prophecy said it's going to come by the wrath of fire. You better believe that Jesus was the Messiah, or you're damned. In Isaiah chapter 66, this was foretold in verse 15. Notice what's said. The prophet writes, for behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with His chariots like a whirlwind, to render His anger with fury, and His rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by His sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Those are those that did not believe Jesus was the Messiah. One more place to turn. Malachi. Not a lot of people go there, but Malachi. A little bit forward before Matthew. This stuff that... And here's the thing, what I want you to get. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist is out, and he looks like, has the people of Jerusalem have an understanding this guy makes sense what he's wearing. It makes sense because it was prophesied what was going to happen. And John the Baptist starts preaching what was told was going to happen. Why do you think so many crowds came out to be baptized? They knew what this guy was talking about. It had been prophesied. Okay? And in Malachi chapter 4, look what's said in verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. That's a picture of Israel, the root and the branch. Okay? So it's clear now. I want to make sure we have clarity here. It's clear now that there are what? Three baptisms associated with the nation of Israel, right? John mentions all three in Matthew chapter 3. By the way, a lot of people say that's for us too. Who did John the Baptist talk to? Israel. Peter mentions Israel 3 to 4 times in Acts chapter 2. He never says Gentiles. It's to Israel. It is a kingdom gospel. They had to meet conditions. They had to endure to the end. And during the tribulation, if they do not endure to the end, they will die out of their faith. That's a sad picture. But that ain't our issue. John mentions all three in Matthew. So these three are for Israel, but not for the church today. Water, which was necessary for repentance. The Holy Ghost, which was necessary to fulfill the Great Commission. And fire, the wrath of God for those who were not baptized with water, didn't sell all that they had, were not obedient, and did not endure to the end. Those are their three baptisms. So then, why does Paul mention in Ephesians that there is only one baptism? When we see here that there are three in Matthew, okay, it's clearly outlined in the Scriptures. Numerous Scriptures about each of those baptisms. Water, right? The Holy Ghost, and with fire. Well, it's because what we've said all along. It's not to us because Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul's doctrine is for the church, the body of Christ. For the church today, there is one baptism. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
But isn't it hilarious how through tradition there's people think they got all these other baptisms? May I remind you, Paul never mentions another type of baptism but water baptism before the word is complete. Why? Because the word says Paul was all things to all people. His hope was that the Jews would be saved too, those that didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. But Paul's doctrine for the church is the body of Christ. That church, there is one baptism. People make all kinds of excuses about this. Many say that one baptism is water baptism. Others say that it is spirit baptism. Some say that there is just one that really matters. People today try to make it fit what they have always been taught. You don't have to turn there, but just remember, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." There's no water there, okay? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into one Spirit, okay? 1 Corinthians 1:17, the Apostle Paul says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Let me tell you something. In other words, anytime you make water baptism important, you know what you just did? You just made the cross of Christ worthless. Because he just said that if he baptized any other, the cross of Christ would be made of none effect. In other words, when your Savior died on the cross for you to forgive you of your sins, the reason Paul says there's one baptism, that's when the Holy Spirit saves you. Because if you make it something else, then the cross is a waste of time. So therefore, today in churches, every time they put somebody in a tub of water, or they dunk them, or they sprinkle them, you know what happens? They're telling you they shadow the cross. Because baptism needed to help Christ out. Because if the cross wasn't enough, then we would take these works. But may I remind you, in Colossians chapter 2, it says, the ordinances were nailed to the cross, blotted out of the way. The cross took care of any condition you had to meet. So the issue this morning is not water baptism. It's not you better receive the Holy Ghost and learn how to speak in tongues at the altar. And it's not a matter of how you heal people. Even though all through life people by tradition are taught that. The craziest thing of all is every time they do that, they shadow the cross. Christ died in vain if we make other things important. If it's works, then it's not grace. All these things just fit. So doesn't it make sense that we take Paul's doctrine to understand that there's one baptism, and that's the moment that you trust Christ as your personal Savior? That you trust Christ that what He did at the cross was enough? That He died for your sins, was dead, buried, and resurrected? The moment you trust in that for your salvation, you're baptized into the body. No works are necessary. You don't have to come up and ask for forgiveness. You don't have to be baptized with water. You don't have to learn how to speak in tongues. Christ says you trust that what He did at the cross was enough. And if it wasn't enough, then you're making the cross of Christ worthless. It's your choice. You can say you're Israel, and you can wait for all these types of baptisms, by the way, that are taking place and ones left to take place. But you can trust that Paul was the pattern. It's so easy, and we make this salvation so hard, don't we? Isn't that amazing how we do that? I mean, there's only one baptism today, and it's Spirit baptism. Everyone saved today has experienced baptism. If Paul says that there is one, and it's Spirit, because the Word says so. So, to believe there's a need for another, such as water, would be wrong. Water baptism today does nothing but make you wet. That's what it does. It has nothing to do with salvation, and it has nothing to do with being obedient to Christ. Christ was obedient to God to save you. And you need to do nothing about it but trust that that was enough.